Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, once again to FMG Live. I'm your host, John Agafi. And I want to welcome everyone to our new time at 3 p.m. on Sundays, as opposed to 6 p.m. We're going to change up a little bit to help out our live listeners. We don't want to catch them at dinner, so we're going to give you something to listen to in the early afternoon. And, of course, you can always find our archived episodes at blogtalkradio.com. You can reach that through the links that we put out through Facebook and through Twitter. So don't hesitate to click on those. Go to blogtalkradio.com. Listen to any of our archived episodes absolutely free. You don't have to register for anything or sign up for anything. You can get in, listen to our shows, and move along. We do appreciate blogtalkradio.com for providing this forum for us and for giving us the ability to broadcast out to you this afternoon. And I want to thank everyone who has joined us this week on Facebook and Twitter as we continue to grow in our listenership. We appreciate each and every one of you for doing that. Tonight, or rather this afternoon, I really have something heavy that was laid on my heart this week. I mean, it seems like we've had a week of just brutal tragedy again. You know, it wasn't that long ago when I was talking about tragedies that were impacting myself and the people around me, and now I find that I'm having to talk about tragedies that are impacting our neighborhoods and our neighbors and our world. And it is a sad and horrible cycle of violence that we are seeing. One of the events, obviously, that I want to speak about, one because it hits very close to home for me, are the shootings in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I am originally a native of Tennessee. I grew up about an hour north of Chattanooga and lived there for many years, lived in Knoxville for many years. I am familiar with the areas where the shootings occurred, and thankfully, for myself, I did not know them closely, the victims closely at all. They're not members of my family. And that's a horrible thing, I think, when we have to be thankful that that wasn't our family injured in that tragedy. It was somebody's family. People from Massachusetts, a gentleman. We had a young naval officer who succumbed to his wounds. The Marines that were killed. I'm sorry, not a naval officer, but a sailor. Has succumbed to his wounds, and all in the name of religion. You know, I know the FBI is still investigating the cause of this tragedy, but the point is that this gentleman, this person who committed this horrible act, and who paid for it with his life, you know, he paid the price for his actions. He lost his life in it as well. And he did so because, at this point, it looks like because he thought that was what he needed to do for his God. Now, not only is Allah not the same God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jesus, and of Paul, and of John, and of David, he is not the same God, although Muslims wouldn't like to say that. The reality, and this is not meant to be an anti-Muslim rant. My first thoughts when I heard about that shooting, knowing that area as I do, was for the safety of Muslims who live there. magnitude were not in any way connected to this horrific event. See, when we cheapen life, when we make it so that life is not valued, when it no longer becomes precious, we start running into problems. You see, for this man, life outside of his religion was not precious. It had no meaning. And in fact, it had a negative meaning, so much so that he took a weapon, a firearm, and just shot indiscriminately into a building, wounding several, ultimately killing one. He was so enraged and so entrenched in his belief that life was not precious that he then went to another area, a Naval Reserve Center, and there killed 4 Marines before he himself was eventually caught by the Chattanooga police and in a gun battle with them was killed himself. See, his record, his race, his path of devaluing life ultimately came down to devaluing his own. Now, he would say, were he still with us, that that's okay. He had martyred himself and so would be rewarded in heaven. You see, that's the difference in a lot of the world's religions versus following Jesus Christ. Other religions want you to die for them. You have to sacrifice. You have to pay a price. You have to find a path. See, God paid the price for us. Jesus dies for us on the cross. It is Jesus who, instead of making demands of you, gives to you. He doesn't demand your life. He gives his own for you. Because you see, Jesus didn't come here to condemn the world, as we heard last week, but that through him the world might be saved. See, Jesus, for Jesus, every life is precious. Yours, if you're within the sound of my voice, your life is absolutely precious to Jesus Christ. It's precious to people around you, even though you may not feel that way right now. Our hearts go out to the families of those who are fallen, including the family that lost their son who committed this horrible act. They have lost as well. And my hope is that if anything good could come out of this, it isn't that we have more guns in our reserve centers and our recruiting stations. It isn't that we arm ourselves more so that we can meet violence with violence. It's that the way of violence is always failure. That violence resolves nothing. You know, it's a cliche to say that there is no winner in a fight. But that's cliched because it's true. This young man didn't accomplish anything other than ending the lives of 5 fellow human beings and giving up his own life in exchange. There's no win there for him. You know, in Psalm 139, the psalmist starts talking about life In the very first verse, he says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." And that's just fancy, that is the beaten language of the King James, saying, "You looked for me, you sought me, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You understand every thought that I have, even from afar." And says, "There's not a word in my tongue," in verse 4, "but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." You know every word I will speak, and that I do speak. And then down in verse 13, he says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." In other words, God, I praise you because you have covered me even from the moment I was in my mother's womb. You saw me and you made me perfect. You made me fearfully and wonderfully. That word fearfully means awesomely. And God created all six of these individuals who perished in Chattanooga. And he made them all the same, fearfully and wonderfully. He wanted a relationship with all six. I don't know about the spiritual status of the five Marines and sailor who died. I know from the reports that the young man who committed this act was a Muslim, and so perhaps did not have a relationship with Jesus. It doesn't seem to indicate that there's nothing that indicates he did. You see, perhaps if he had, he would have realized the preciousness of the lives in front of him and how precious that life was. You know, I said this was not a rant against Islam or Muslim, and I don't want it to be. The next story that I want to talk about, though, also involves Muslims. These are members of ISIS, and that terror organization that goes by many names. Some people still want to call it Al-Qaeda. Some people call it ISIS. Some call it ISIL. It has a variety of names. But its purpose seems to continually be the same, and that is to inflict pain on others in order to forward its own goals, which it covers in a veneer of religion. See, this Islamic State group believes, or says that it believes, it is bringing Islam to those who are unenlightened. And it will do so by whatever means necessary. And that most of those means involve violence. Convert or die. Well, you see, this group, in order to bolster its numbers, and it has been successful in the Middle East. It has taken and held territory, which in our modern world, in terms of warfare, is a very significant achievement. It uses, we know, it has been documented, they use child soldiers both for suicide runs, suicide bombing missions, and as frontline fighters. Children who should be playing soccer or basketball or video games are instead learning how to shoot AK-47s, learning how to make IEDs, improvised explosive devices, learning how to kill with a knife their fellow man, and being taught that life is not precious. There comes a story from Iraq from a security chief in one of the provinces in Iraq. And he tells the story of a father who had been executed supposedly for killing ISIS militants. Now, apparently he was a civilian, so I don't know if he was out on his own doing so. But at any rate, this man was targeted by ISIS as their enemy. So they executed him. And then they took it a step further because they failed to value human life. They took the man's infant child. And this is going to be graphic, so I warn you now. It is horrific, horrible, and crushingly sad. But they took this enemy of theirs. They took his baby after he's already dead. And in order to punish him further, and I suppose to act as an example, they booby-trapped the baby with explosives as a training mission. And then blew the baby up as part of this training exercise. Now, I didn't make that up. I prayed when I first heard the story that it was false. This security chief in this Iraqi province could be making it up based on hearsay. I don't know. But the thought, and certainly the actions of this group, shows their total disregard for human life. In addition to the baby, the group, ISIS, has been accused of kidnapping young girls because they refused to participate in sexual acts with ISIS fighters. Rape is a common tool of these people because they don't value human life. But you see, God does. And yes, we can sit and say, well, that baby now rests because it was innocent. Rest in Abraham's bosom, is there with God in heaven, returned to its creator, his creator. And maybe that child's purpose, maybe God knew, I don't know, I have no why for you. You know, there are things that can come of it. See, God doesn't do horrific things. God didn't say, okay, I'm going to create this baby, and here's this baby is named, and I know this baby, and you are my creation. I'm going to send you to Earth, and you're going to be there for about a year, and then you are going to die horrifically, but it's for a purpose. See, God doesn't create that death. God creates that child with the same hope of every parent, that he will see that child, that he will have a great relationship with that child. I know that child may struggle, and that child may have hardships and face difficulties on earth. He's going to know his heavenly father. And he or she's going to work with him and build a relationship with him. And then they'll be reunited in heaven in a loving and caring way. That's what God intends, because you see, to God, every life is precious. And I know the question that comes up, well, why did God let that happen? Because, you see, he gave man free will. He gave man the ability to make bad decisions. Because he wanted us to make the one good decision that matters, and that is accepting the gift of salvation from his son, Jesus Christ, who made the free will decision to die on the cross for you and me. A third story that I want to talk about this week is the video, and again, I'm going to warn you how graphic, that I'm going to be talking about some very difficult things, but the video of a Planned Parenthood director, I believe she was, a doctor, someone who took a Hippocratic oath to save lives. She's a senior director of medical services. And she is videotaped describing in detail how this group that your tax dollars pay for. Let me say that again. This organization that your tax dollars fund. So whether you agree with the concept or the principle of abortion or not, understand that your money is going to pay for this. This organization is taking the aborted fetuses and making sure to carefully remove them from the mother's womb in order to preserve their organs so that they can be sold. Much like at a butcher shop, where the butcher wants to preserve the best cuts of meat so that he can put it on your table and charge a premium price for it. This so-called doctor goes on to talk about what organs give you the best price and how their procedures are, how they know what they're doing, and how they use ultrasounds to make sure they're not damaging anything vital that can be sold. Can you let that sink in for a minute? Human life. In that Psalm 139, the psalmist reminds her, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." This baby, cut up and sold for meat. And you see, while ISIS may have blown up one baby, Planned Parenthood aborts hundreds of thousands of babies a year. They kill more babies outright than ISIS has ever done in one year. They do it so well they can brag about it. They do it so well. Do you hear me? Does anyone in the sound of my voice hear what I am saying? Because there is no outcry. People have talked about it. It's hit the news. There's no general outcry. Really, from any of these stories, the biggest outcry that I have heard from any of these stories is, oh my gosh, we've got to get our soldiers guns. Not, we need to stop the killing. Not, we need to stop these enemies from doing what they're doing to children and to babies. Not, we have to shut down this practice and this organization that practices literal people. That means that's what I'm about to say is not a metaphor, it's not an analogy, it's the literal word butchery of human beings. The only thing they could have done worse is eaten them. I mean, when is enough enough? Chapter 12. He reminds us of what Jesus is. Jesus says, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." In verse 4 of chapter 12. That means that you and I, who are adults, once we know Jesus as our Savior, we don't have to be afraid of them that might kill us. We don't have to be afraid of ISIS. Because after they kill us, there's no more they can do. Nothing else they can do to us. We'll be in heaven with our Lord. And then in verse 5, I like this, because Jesus comes back and says, "But I will tell you, I will forewarn you who you shall fear, but I'm going to tell you who you need to be afraid of. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." That means you need to, if you're going to be afraid of somebody, be afraid of the God. And when we say afraid, it means respect and show him awe of the God who can do something to you after you're dead. He can let you suffer the consequences of your own bad choice. But you see, Jesus shows the mercy of that same Father in the next couple of verses. "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God." You see, that means that no matter how cheap, 2 farthings, a farthing's like a penny. It was basically 1/16th of a wage, or in today's modern times, if you had worked for 30 minutes, you would get 1 farthing. So this is an hour's worth of work. For 1 hour's worth of work, you can get 5 sparrows. But you see, God knows every single one of those sparrows. He knows every single one of them. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. See, that's not a phrase. That's truth. God knows every hair on your head. He knows when it falls. He knows when you get up and when you sit down. And Jesus says, "Fear not, therefore, because you are of more value than many sparrows." Because you see, to Jesus, life is precious. To God, life is precious. Precious. I don't know. I don't have marching orders for you. I can't tell you, write your congressman or go straight to a recruiting center and join the military. Or I don't have specific instructions for you other than these. No. If you don't have one, create a relationship with a God who values life. Because my bet is, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, you value life too. And God values it more than you do. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. If you already have a relationship with him, ask him, say, "God, what can I do? What can I do to help? What can I do to show love for my fellow man to end this kind of brutality?" Join me again next week at 3 p.m. in the afternoon on New Time, 3 p.m. for FMG Live. Once again, I'm your host, John A. Geffey.